Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle B.W. Jones Sr., right here on The Proceeding Word. So glad, elated, literally excited to be with you on this wonderful time in space. That's right, time in space. There is no time like this time ever again for or in your life. Today is unique to you, as unique as you are to your own family. There will not be another made like this time. This is a time for you and I to get our lives right in Him. Every day you awake with life and breath in your body, it is because Elohim, our Yahweh, our Elohim, has a plan that you have yet to fulfill. No matter how many times you've messed up, no matter how many things you've gotten right, you will never arrive until you leave this earthen realm. And when you leave this earthen realm, we need to hear the words of our Elohim state, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Interesting. Faithful, that means full of His word. Faithful, that's right, full of His word. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So every time you think about why you're alive, remember, He is in complete control. There is no God like our God. There is, I don't care how many gods that we make up, and conjure up in our brain and in our mind and our imagination the figment thereof. But at the end of the day, there is no God like our God. And he is the only true and living God. There is none like him in all the earth. I've searched all over, couldn't find nobody. And I literally searched multiple belief systems. That's right, became a convert to many systems. And what happened was I ended up coming back to truth. Sometimes we leave out, like the prodigal son, from the safe, well-structured havens that our forefathers have established based on wisdom and understanding. And because we're young, coming up in those well-built, sweat, blood, and tears-built establishments, we think we know better, not realizing we take it for granted what was structured for our safety. And then in our intellect, we leave that safe place, thinking that what we were in is simple and easy to devise in another place on our limited understanding of life. And like the prodigal son, we go forth, take all that we have with us, and get suckered out of it, get exploited out of it, get blackmailed out of it, literally turn it over and give it away, or have it stolen from us. We squander it away, then to find out that what we were living in was much more than just a roof over our head and a pillow under our head. It became a way of life. And sometimes we can literally blow it. And so, like the prodigal son, we come back. Thank you, Father, we can come back. When we've gone out and done everything we've been big enough to do, bad enough to do, considered ourselves strong enough to do, in many cases thought ourselves wise enough to do, and we thought that all that mom and dad were talking about was a bunch of old folk ramblings, and that we were in a new age and a new day and a new way and a new time, and we learned quickly, very, very quickly, that what we were in was far greater than what we perceived. And it's not until you go out to try and make your own life, create your own family, set your own relationships that you realize the safety that you were under. So the prodigal son always, if he is wise, returns home. And when he returns home, he is humbled, willing to serve, willing to wash the dishes, willing to take out the trash, willing to clean around the bathroom and get the yard done, just willing to serve, because he realizes every other type of service belonged to another when you rendered it outside of your own dwelling. So the point is, this preamble to today's broadcast is, like the prodigal son, this day will never be like another day you have. If you have life in your body, you have strength in your person right now, it's because Yahweh has a plan for you. That's right. He's not giving up on you. There are things that are going to begin to develop for you and towards you that you will need to be healthy to do. But watch this. In him is where you need to live. And so today is a day that gives you the opportunity that no matter where you've been, when you repent, when you ask him to come into your heart, into your mind, change how you see the life he has given you, because it runs contrary to the life you have tried to build. And when the difference of those two worlds are experienced, you will see that he has been utterly merciful, utterly gracious, utterly providing to you, for you, and towards you. But what we must do at that point is simply repent for thinking we knew better than he who created us, engineered us, and designed us. Watch this. For his glory. I'm going to do me. You go ahead and do you. You won't be doing him. Until you do him, he won't be able to do for you what you need to have done in the earthen realm. So today we're going to talk about how that gets accomplished. That's right. Well, before we do, again, our point that is being belabored is you are alive and still remaining on the earth because there is yet work for his kingdom. He's expecting you and I to perform, to do, and to bring into full manifestation. But the problem becomes getting our will out of the way of his will. Removing your proclivities and propensities from manifesting through your thoughts and your cravings and your desires and preconceived ideas. Today is a day to repent. Right this moment is the time to repent. I talked to someone wrong yesterday. I thought wrong about someone yesterday. I thought wrong about that situation yesterday. I responded wrong in that situation yesterday or 12 minutes ago. I so think that Yahweh wants us to recognize our error, repent of our way, and ask him for a clean slate to start anew. Nothing greater can an artist receive, listen, than a fresh, clean canvas. So as we need a fresh, clean canvas to start creating and redesigning the life we believe we should have, Yahweh asks us to wash in his blood so that he can have a clean canvas to prescribe upon your canvas, your flesh, your heart, a heart of your heart, who you are and what you are to do for his glory. So today, I'm going to ask you to join me because you know what? I need to repent for how I thought about this other preacher the other day. I need to repent for how I thought about this person who asked me for help and wouldn't take the help. I got upset. We need to learn to repent for our thoughts, that they do not manifest into deeds, for when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. So I want you to pray with me as we pray this prayer. Repeat this with me. Say, Father God Almighty, your name is Yahweh. You are our Elohim. You have engineered life for me, and I have tried to do my own. I now turn to your plan and away from my own. I ask you to wash me in the blood of the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world that I might have a chance at the tree of life. I accept your son, Yeshua HaMashiach, as the propitiation and the ransom for my sins, and I make him the Lord of my life. Now, I acknowledge you in all my way that you can direct my path. Take me, teach me, help me, grow me, process me for your glory alone. This I pray. Oh, and forgive me of all my wrong. I confess my sins before you now. Amen. Well, if you've done that, listen, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Messiah. The question is, not even problem, but scenario becomes, will you remain in him? Will you walk in him? Will you walk it out? Will you allow him to get glory from you? Will you allow him to process through you all that he wants to be in the world using your life? Interesting, because without him, we can do nothing. Though we try so many different ways, it is him and him alone who has given us what we consider to be life. Walk it out in him. Be a part of where he wants you to be. Understand the process he desires of you, and let this be what we need, his word. David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And this becomes our reality. I want you today to really begin to embrace the truth that today will never be again, and tomorrow has the ability to be greater than any other day I've ever experienced when I acknowledge him in all my way. And guess what? He will. He wills. Notice what I said. I wasn't redundant. He will. And more importantly, he, Elohim, wills to direct our path. Funny. What can be done when we submit to his sovereignty? Let tomorrow be a greater day. Let this next 30 minutes change the course of your future. That eternal life, prosperity in this natural life, become yours. How do we do this, Apostle? Yes, we must repent for your sin. No, you don't have to work for repentance. You simply have to embrace it. Lay before him. Allow his words to become your words. Remove your thoughts and let his thoughts take over the space in your mind. The Bible declares, for my thoughts are not like your thoughts. That's what Yahweh says. He says to my people who I made, look, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Let me show you how our thoughts are. This is Yahweh speaking. Now listen, he says, I love the word because it makes me so, it just gives me such joy. He says, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. Mr. and Mrs. Child and person I created. As far as the heavens are from the earth, so are my thoughts from yours. Now, this is so deep. You know what? Let's try something live on air. I didn't think to do this. I've done enough studies, but let's just try something. Siri, how high are the heavens from the earth in miles? Ask Siri and see what she can help us with. She's coming. She's calculating.
Okay. Give me a moment.
She asked for a moment. So she has given me a website. I'm going to pull this website up and just do a little primitive and preliminary research. Let's see what enotes.com has for us. They're taking forever to come up. So when they finally come up, we'll discuss how long it is. And Siri usually has an attitude when I ask her questions, but today she seems to be all right. Yes, she's artificial intelligence, but it's intelligence nonetheless. So at the end of the day, whenever this website comes up, we'll discuss how far the heavens are from the earth. But think about it. If you know planes can fly above our head and we not even know they're there by noise, we're talking several miles at least. I'm not certain. I don't want to put anything out there unless I have some degree of certainty. But we are several miles above us. The heavens are miles above our thoughts. So when we think our best laid plans and our best engineered concepts are good for success and heritage and lineage propagation and sustenance for our great-grandchildren, our best laid plans are nowhere to be compared to the thoughts that Yahweh, our Elohim, has for us. I want you to realize today, you can start living, I can start living, come on, let's do it together. We can start living in the greatest of life if we will simply give him all of our thoughts. Let him take, let him give us his thoughts, and then we attempt to carry them out. Well, we got a lot to discuss today, and I'm so glad to be with you. Hope that that made some sense to you. Many of you don't think you can do it, but I assure you, oh yeah, you surely can. I want you to remember this because it's important. When you realize who you really are and what you really are in him, I want you to understand he means so much more than you can ever imagine. Well, listen, I got to wet my whistle because I got some teaching to do for you in about 12 seconds. But while I'm gone on this very short break, I want you to contact your neighbor, your cousin, your grandmama, and tell them, look, the proceeding word is on the air. And then simply lean over to them and look at them in their eyeballs or shout it in their ears and tell them, you're going to learn today. But so you'll realize that your tomorrow can be different than today. I want you to say, yes, I can. I can give him my all in all. I can make him all that matters to me. He is the engineer of my life. I'm going to stop thinking I know what I am doing and let him prescribe his plan for my life that I can carry it out in simplicity. You know what Elohim says? He says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Why? For my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Today we're going to discuss how to put that yoke on and how to properly carry any burden in your life and still come out smelling like a rose. I guess you can. Oh, yes, you can.
Call that I be weak,
but you made me strong.
They thought that I would crumble,
but they were so wrong.
You held my hand and
encouraged me to stand.
When they said I couldn't do it, I heard you say,
you said yes, you
gotta
can.
Gotta sing it one more time.
Truth is that Elohim says, yes, you can. You can do it. You can make it. You can be greater. Well, let's get into the word today. We're talking about, as you know, today is the day that Yahweh, our Elohim, has made. It's Friday on your Gregorian calendar. Well, every Friday at sundown is a day that was prescribed, pre-written, pre-engineered that man should rest in. Mm-hmm. Rest from hate, rest from unforgiveness, rest from work, rest from all the things that plague you, rest from your proclivities, rest from your own thoughts of proclivities, and find his will for your life. How do we do that, Apostle? Today, we're going to deal with comprehending and understanding the Sabbath. That's right. Friday at sundown, which today, on this day, starts, I think, at 8:04 p.m., at least that's EST. I think that Central as well as Pacific Standard Times are going to be at that time as well. So at 8:04 today is called sundown. Until 8:04 Saturday p.m., it will be Sabbath. And when you're in Sabbath, what does Sabbath do? Well, let's talk about it. We always read this passage every Friday, and I want you to get used to it so that you memorize it in your souls. It says, verse 1, Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. And then on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made. He rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he'd made. Verse 3 states, Elohim blessed. He empowered the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim created and made. This day proves to us that the time and the day that Yahweh our Elohim has made, called the Sabbath, is basically and truly for you and I to embrace restoration. You work, You deal with family. You deal with being a mother. You deal with being a father. You deal with being a wife. You deal with being a husband. You deal with being a provider. You deal with being a nurturer. You deal with being a friend. You deal with being a sibling. You deal with being a coworker. All of these things are work. And what Yahweh wants you to realize is I'm giving you 6 days to do all of them. Situations and just how interesting life becomes in every encounter you will engage. This is for 6 days, but that seventh day, listen to me closely, is the day that Yahweh wants you to literally remove yourself from those pangs, P-A-N-G-S, pangs, and I want you to come and rest in me. Now, as you always heard me say, when you come to rest in Yahweh on the seventh day, listen, he will be there for you. Now, many people say, well, Apostle, what do you mean he will be there for me? His name is Yahweh Shema. You've already told me that he's everywhere all the time. We call him the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God. So are you saying that he's not around any other time than the seventh day? Absolutely not. Here is the thing. The issue is on the seventh day is when Yahweh himself says, I will, listen closely, I will be there for you. I will be there specifically to have an appointment with my selected and elected few. Oh, that's deep. Because he is everywhere all the time in the earthen realm. But watch this. He is only preparing himself to be veiled for those who look for him. Now, this is very interesting. The Sabbath day is a very specific and uniquely designed day. It is a day that grants you and I, listen, his company. Yeah. Jesus paid it all. I get it. I heard you. I understand your argument and your complaint. But when we say this, Yeshua paid it all so you and I could have admission into the Sabbath. He paid the price. That's why we say it. He paid the price that he didn't owe. And we owed a price we could not pay. He did what he didn't have to do that you and I could do what we've been designed to do, and that is to enter into the place of rest, restoration, rejuvenation, redirection, and get this, you're going to love this part. You're going to get this is so beautiful, and relaxation. We live a world that is constantly moving. New York is a city that never sleeps. Boy, I used to hang out there all the time. Philadelphia then became the place that never sleeps. Atlantic City tried to become the place that never slept. And every place you go to is always trying to be a place that is looking for the next great opportunity. Technology allowed us to remain up even when the lights should be off. The sun is down and we made street light. Hey, I got to work while it's day. Yahweh says, yes, work while it is day, but when night comes, no man can work. And Sabbath is a time when man should rest in him. Oh, if you've been hurt, if you've been broken, if you've been upset, if you've been mad, if you've been transgressed against, you can rest from all of that pain. Now, here is what gets fun for me. Yahweh says, I've got so much to show you about who you are. I need 24 hours every day just to embrace you, just to help you get through and understand what you experienced in the previous 6 days. And then I'll show you what you can look forward to in the upcoming 6 days. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever you get into a fight, let's just say a fight per se, I want you to think about this. If you can see the punch coming, you can better defend yourself in that fight. Because I can see the punch coming, I can get out of its way and counterpunch and knock my adversary back and away from me that I am not left, listen, compromised, to be exploited, to be hurt, stripped. So when you come in on Sabbath, Yahweh gives you the peace that passes all understanding concerning the previous 6 days, and then he gives you hope, a plan that he himself, seeing into your future, can let you become patient, compassionate, understanding of people that you will encounter, situations that you will encounter, places that you will encounter. But it comes from resting for 24 hours from all that is considered secular. Now, Apostle, you're just too deep. This is law versus grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Stop trying to make us come and be legalistic. No, dear hearts, this is far greater than law versus grace. This is the law that grants you grace. This is the order from Elohim that says, if you will rest in me, I will bring peace that passes all understanding to your life. Every day, so no matter what befalls you. See, this is where Psalms 91 comes into play at, and people don't get it, but I want to help you forever read Psalms 91 differently. Psalms 91 was not written by David. Psalms 91 was written by Moshe. That's right. Why does Moshe write Psalms 91? Because prior to Psalms 91, prior to Moshe, there really was not a seventh-day ordinance. Though the seventh day was hallowed for man to rest in. Because in Egypt, Pharaoh didn't play. They worked every day. But when Yahweh told Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may obey me now, and I'm going to take them 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Look, pay attention. Don't miss this historical fact. The Bible declares that Yahweh gave Moshe the history of mankind. Listen, in the verse I read to you previously, Genesis 2, 1 through 2, Moshe had been revealed by Yahweh that when I made the seventh day, it was hallowed for man to rest in. So from this point forward, Moshe, you tell my children Israel, I want them to rest in me for those 24 hours. Do not do any work, no servile work. Do not even cook a major meal. If you're going to cook a major meal, cook it the day before and heat it up that day of the Sabbath. He even said, I'm going to send manna down. Look at this, Exodus. We'll go back to Psalms 91 in a second. Look at this, Exodus chapter 16. This is a great story, and most people they just look over this passage. But Exodus chapter 16, I love his word, and his word always explains what he's trying to do for people. Exodus chapter 16, look at this, verse number, verse number 11, watch this. And listen to what Sabbath and why is it so important. In Exodus chapter 16, you will eat flesh. In the morning, you shall be filled with bread. I hear your complaint that you're in the wilderness and you want some meat and you would like some bread. Fine. I'm going to supply that for you. That's why I'm called Yahweh, the I am, that I am, the I will be, that I will be for you. Now, everybody say, I am Israel. Mm-hmm. Say, I am in the wilderness. You really are, because where you are right now, you are not, and many of us have not entered into our place of Canaan. Uh-huh. Now, the children of Israel are our example of what this should look like. Listen closely. Yahweh says to Moshe, the leader, he says, tell the people of Israel, my people, that I've heard their murmurings. Some of you are complaining, God, I don't have enough money. God, I don't have enough influence. God, I don't have enough power. I don't have enough autonomy. He says, I hear your complaint. I want to give it to you. Listen, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to need you to understand some things. I hear your murmurings. I hear your complaint. You're going to eat flesh in the morning, and I'm going to even fill you with some bread. and you shall know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. Now, I'm going to prove it to you. You see you're in the wilderness. You see you don't have meat. I'm going to provide you meat. I'm going to make quail. Come down, and you're going to eat the quail. I'm sending schools of birds your way so you can eat meat you crave and think you need. Along with that, I'm going to help you out so you can make a sandwich. I'm going to send you down some bread. We call it angel food. It's called manna. I'm going to even give you bread so you can put the meat between the bread, and you will know you didn't bring it. I brought it. I want to show myself as a provider to you. Look at verse 13, Exodus chapter number 16. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up, and they covered the, and in the morning the dew lay about them as a host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there laid some small round things. They were small as a hoar frost on the ground, like a coriander seed. And when the children of Israel saw this stuff on the ground, they said one to another, "This is manna," for they knew not what it was. And Moshe said to them, "This is the bread that Yahweh has given for you to eat." Now, he just wants to prove that when I make a promise, I'm going to keep it. Listen closely. This is why the Sabbath is so important. This is the thing which Yahweh has commanded. This is what he wants you to know about the bread he's giving you. Verse 16, Exodus chapter 16. Listen, this thing which Yahweh has commanded, he wants you to gather it every man according to his eating. Get an omer for every man according to the number of your persons in your home. Take you every man for them which are in your tents. And the children of Israel did that. They gathered. Some people gathered more. Some people gathered less because they had different numbers of peoples in their tents. And when they did meet it with an omer, every man in their tent got an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little lacked nothing. They gathered every man according to his eating. I'm going to keep reading. You just keep listening. And Moshe said, "Let no man leave of this till the morning. Let no man keep today," listen, "let no man keep today anything made today from this manna and try to make leftovers for tomorrow. Don't do it. What you gather today, eat today. Do not leave it for tomorrow." Verse number 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to the instructions Moshe that had given them. But some of them tried to leave it over until the morning. And because they did what they left over till the morning, bread worms, and it stunk. And Moshe was very angry with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, the manna that was left on the ground began to melt. Verse 22, listen to this closely. I hope that you're being blessed by this. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, which means there was two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came to Moses and said, "Moses, today for some reason there's like double on the ground. What should we do?" Moshe said to them, "This is that which Yahweh had said. See, tomorrow, the seventh day, is the rest. It is called the Holy Sabbath, and it is to be a day dedicated to Yahweh. So, because of that, bake all the extra that you have found today, and then sieve or boil or cook whatever else you're going to cook today, and that which remains over today, you are allowed to let it lay up for you until tomorrow morning, because tomorrow there's not going to be anything out there to go and collect, because Yahweh wants us to remain in a place of rest." Verse 24, "And they laid it up until the morning, just like Moses had said, and the stuff this time, it didn't stink.
neither was there any worms in it this time. Verse 25 says, Moshe said, eat that today. This is so good. He says, eat that today. I love this word. Eat that today. See, everything that you have, Yahweh has given you for that day. For today is a Sabbath of Yahweh. Today you shall not find, on the seventh day, anything in the field. Verse 26 says, 6 days shall you gather it. But on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it shall come to pass that there went out some of the people, still hard-headed people, still thinking that we can do what we think is right instead of doing what Yahweh says is right. Listen to this. Yahweh says, don't go out on the seventh day because there won't be anything out there. Just remember that what you had double on the sixth day was designed for you to prepare for 2 days. And then the seventh day, you just rest. You don't have to go out and do that working and work the cooking and grinding up the coriander seed and grinding up the manna to make a batter, to make dough, to make bread. Look at this, verse 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather. And guess what? They found nothing. And Yahweh said to Moshe, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and keep my laws? See, for that Yahweh has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread enough for 2 days. Now, I'm taking my time with this because I don't want you to miss this point. Listen to this. Abide every man in his own place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people of Israel rested on the seventh day. Now, people of the Most High, this is the command of Elohim, that the seventh day you don't go out doing what's called serviyah work. Now, many of us have to because we did not come into this knowledge until well after we established our companies, we established businesses, we've been hired on jobs, and those jobs don't necessarily observe Torah. So we got to work. Walmart don't care. IBM doesn't care about this stuff. Wall Street doesn't care about this stuff. Money is money, and, you know, time is money. And if you hold up time, time don't stop for anybody. You know, you got to do today. Don't put off today what you can do. You know, don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today. All of that, that goes with that. And so people don't realize that there is a time that Yahweh wants us to just rest and not do serviyah work. If we do that, it gives us balance. It gives us perspective. It helps us to forgive. It helps us to let things go. It helps us to embrace new change, new beginnings. But more importantly, it helps us to understand his will for our lives because we stop the merry-go-round from spinning in our head. We get off, like hamsters, the spinning wheel that literally is going nowhere. And we can see for a moment. Because oftentimes, like an artist who has a canvas, who has a painting in front of them, the artist looks at this painting, and he's in front of it, or she's in front of it, and they're just stroking along, they're getting different colors, their mind is running. But sometimes you need to step away from what you're painting to actually see what you've painted and where some of your lines have gone off by stepping back. And Sabbath allows us to step back. You know, I'm dealing with my children a certain way, and I'm so into the plan I've prepared for them. I'm dealing with them, dealing with them. I'm dealing with my spouse a certain way. I'm so into the plan I'm doing with them. I'm dealing with ministry a certain way. I'm so into the plan I'm dealing with them. I'm dealing with my job and my company and my employees a certain way, and I'm so focused on what I'm giving them that sometimes we can be so focused on our plan we don't see where our plan is going awry because we've not lifted up our heads and taken a look at it from a distance. And this is what Sabbath allows us to do in the natural realm, fueled by spiritual empowerment. So Sabbath is so very utterly important. I want you to realize how important Sabbath is, that this day, I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter 91. This is so important. We're almost done. Listen to this. Psalms chapter 91 is the epitome of understanding Sabbath. Why is this important? Well, let's just read it. I think you'll be blessed by it. The book of Psalms, chapter 91. Look, the Bible declares, this is so good to me. I hope you're being blessed by this. Psalms chapter 91 makes this statement. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It then says, I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my Elohim, my God. In him will I trust. Now, verse 1 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, what is the secret place? Does anybody know what the secret place? Yes, we do. It is the day of Sabbath. Why do we think that? Well, there was this prophet who lived in the days of Yeshua. He was at the meal of Pesach with Yeshua. He made this statement. He laid his head upon the chest of our Messiah. Now, this particular man named John, he was then exiled after Yeshua was crucified. And he was then captured himself, and he was exiled to an isle of Patmos. But watch this. Though he was alone on this isle, exiled, excommunicated from what is known as society and civilization, he's on an island to fend for himself, left out there. The Bible says that John's writings state, I was in the spirit on Yahweh's day, on the Lord's day. See, that's that secret place. Look at what happens when you're in him to this end. He says, I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress. I was in the secret place. That's what John was really saying. So let's finish reading. I'm going to get this done. Verse number 2 says, I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my Elohim. In him will I trust. See, I've got to go back to verse 1. When you dwell in the secret place of Elohim, of El Elyon, of El Yahweh Nisi, of El Roi, El Rohi, when you stay in the secret place of El Shaddai, you will abide under his protection. You will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We call him El Shaddai. That means that nothing can harm you when you have, one, repented of your sins, two, sought out how to learn his job for your life better, embrace his truths, and seek him out with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul. Guess what he does? He covers you. That's why we say there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Messiah, because Messiah is always in that secret place. It's so important to know. That's why this psalmist, Moshe, he says these words. He says, I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge. I will tell him, you are my fortress. And when you make Elohim your fortress, there's no demon and devil in hell that will come against you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, don't you get it twisted. If you're going to sin and keep your foolishness up and fake it and act like you saved and not live saved at all and not have the remorse, everybody fails, everybody errs, everybody makes mistakes. But if you're just purposefully, consistently trying to mess up, that's a different story. He turns you over to a reprobate mind. But let me tell you, when you've repented for your sins and your thoughts and your ideas, and you seek Yahweh out, Yahweh himself will keep you. You know, it's funny because people say, well, Pastor, how do you know if, you know, how many times can you ask for forgiveness? It's not a matter of trying to ask for forgiveness. You want to live right in him. You should want to live and obey his law that David says you might not sin against him. But truly enough, all have sinned and come short of his glory. But Yeshua told the disciples when Peter asked him, he says, how often should I forgive my brother who has sinned against me? Yeshua told him. He says, you forgive your brother 7 times 70, and that was daily. So that means that if your brother sins against you, you have to forgive him. If you are in Messiah, if you are born again, 7 times 70 daily. Mm-hmm. That's 490 times a day you have to forgive your brother. Now, does it mean you have to consistently live with that brother or keep that brother or sister at your face and all of that? No. You forgive them for what's been done. If they've confessed, if they've repented, you let it be. So the Bible says, when you have done this, you've repented for your sins, you seek him out to live in him, and you find that secret place, that Sabbath day, you're approaching that. It's upon you in several hours on this day. In that secret place, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. That means nothing can get you that wants you. Yahweh covers you. That's why you say in verse 2, like Moshe says, I will say of Yahweh, the I am that I am. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my Elohim. In him alone will I trust. Look at this. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That means that there are things and situations out there that want to snare you and trap you and hurt you. Yahweh says, when you honor me in Sabbath, you honor me by repentance, you honor me in your lifestyle, I'll keep you from the snare of the fowler. And I'll also keep you from disease, the noisome pestilence. Verse number 4 says, he, the Almighty, shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. Don't you let anything frustrate you when you really, truly, sincerely know that your heart toward Elohim is right, your heart towards mankind is right. Don't let anything or anybody try to bring you back into condemnation. Baby, just keep it moving. Look at this. He says, his truth shall be your shield. And but verse 5 says, you shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. If you're in him in that secret place, a thousand shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even the Most High, you've made him your place of dwelling. You've made the Sabbath day your space in which you give him full access to your life. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Somebody need to shout hallelujah right there and just rejoice in the fact that Yahweh keeps his word. When you come to him rightly, you come to him properly, and you come into that secret place, honoring Sabbath, in a right heart and a right spirit, a repentful and a remorseful and a contrite and a broken spirit and a broken heart way, Yahweh covers you, baby. Don't you let anybody try to bring you fear, doubt, or skirmish. He is your refuge. Listen to this. This is so deep. Listen to this. There shall no, verse 10, Psalms 91:10, there shall no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. For he, look at this, Yahweh Tzabaoth, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Now listen, the president has the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
The Kremlin has the KGB. Let me tell you right now, you have the Lord of hosts. Now, of course, you got to be right. You got to be blood washed in your heart, and you got to be seeking to honor him in all your ways. Be accountable for you, your activity, and your actions. He will extend mercy. He will extend grace to you, but more importantly, and he will grant you his eternal life. This is so, so important. Look here. They, those angels, will bear you up in their hands in the event you should dash your foot against a stone. So what if you misstepped? Mean it in your heart to serve Elohim with all that you are. Verse number 13 says, you shall even tread on lions and adders, young lions and dragons shall you be able to trample under your feet. Why? Because you have set your love upon me, Yahweh says. Because you have come into the secret place to see me and rest in me, I will set you on high. And because you have known my name, Yahweh Nisi, Yahweh Mekadeshkin, El Shaddai, Yahweh Gomor, Yahweh Gabor, Yahweh Sidkenu, Yahweh Tzaboth, because you've known my name, when you call upon me, you know, you, the one who kept me and came to the secret place, the one who keeps Sabbath and honors me by cutting out all secular activity in those 24 hours and just sucking in my word and allowing me to reset you, make you understand how salvation's supposed to work, helps you to forgive people who just help you to refresh your walk with me. I will deliver you when you pray. I will answer him when you call upon my name. Verse 15 says, I will be with you in trouble, and I will deliver you, and I will honor you. With long life will I satisfy you, and I will show you my salvation. Wow. Psalms 91 is the epitome of what you receive when you are willing to come into that secret place. And sometimes that secret place costs, because your jobs and your requirements and your family structure at present isn't prepared for Sabbath worship. I want you to know, if you really want it to be, yes, you got to comply, obey them that have rule over you and the Lord. But when you really make your heart out to honor Elohim and the Torah and the Rit, he will make space. Some of you, if you ask him to, he'll give you autonomy so you can write your own schedule. Yeah, and just tell your boss, from Friday at sundown till Saturday at sundown, gotta be with the Lord. You need me to be in that place. This way I become an asset and not a liability to your organization. Or you tell your company, if you own your company, hey, guys, we're off from Friday night to Saturday night. Most of them are going to be real happy, but you're doing it because I don't need secular and or that type of support in our business, because Yahweh wants me and he wants you to give him those 24 hours. Well, saints, I hope we've helped you today understand how important Sabbath is for the believer. It will even help you learn how to forgive. I know it does me every day. Every Sabbath, I learn something new about myself. I learn something new about how people are. Some of it can be disappointing, but we now know how to live through it and walk through it and honor him. Let me tell you something. Even hate as a spirit knows that love is the cure to hatred. Funny, don't let hatred cause you to hate. Remember, Elohim is love. Love one another, for love is of Elohim. And everyone that loves not knows not Elohim, because Elohim is love. We make mistakes, we make errors. You're going to make missteps. You're going to dash your foot against a stone. Just make sure you repent. Acknowledge, own up, man up, be what you need to be. Confess, repent, and ask Yahweh to keep you from making those same mistakes again. And keep your life moving. Shake off the disappointment. Learn to forgive those who've hurt you. Learn to forgive those who hate you. Love your enemies. Don't despise them. Just love them. Because even the Bible says that Yeshua was crucified on the cross, and he said before he died, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, Today we just talked a little bit about Sabbath. We talked a little bit about practical applications for your life in this world. I hope that this was a blessing to you. Listen, make sure you join us on the next broadcast. We want to make sure that you are there with us for the purpose of understanding the process of Elohim, the will of God, the will of his plan. We need you to consider becoming a partner with VWJ Ministries. Go to our website, vwjministries.com, and if you go there, type in and go down to the contributions tab. Let us and you partner to carry this type of teaching to the rest of the world. Hope to see you and be with you in this times. We call these the last days, so we can become greater and more impacting of carrying his gospel. Listen, I don't know why, but I have to share this with you. Whoever you are, forgive yourself for error. I had to forgive myself for some sins, and it changed my life. Now just make sure you don't walk back in those errors and those sins again. Forgive yourself, forgive those who offended you, but make sure, more importantly, you focus on only what Elohim wants. Your thoughts are different from his, and your ways are different from his. Keep that in the forefront of your minds. Well, it's been a pleasure and an honor. Shabbat shalom.
The Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway, right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team, a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, shalom.